Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All my life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
All my life, he's been faithful.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise. Praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Let's magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Hallelujah of the praise. He is so faithful. Hallelujah. My gosh. My gosh. Why does the dance team do me like that? Hallelujah. Why do you do me like that? Hallelujah. Has he been faithful to anybody? Is there anybody that is willing to magnify his name? He's worthy of the praise. He's been faithful. Even when you're messing up, even when you're mudding it up, even when you're getting in the way of it, he's consistent. He's still loving on me and hugging on me and still blessing me when I don't deserve it. He still does it because he's faithful. Oh God, he's faithful. Oh, he's like a faithful wife or a faithful woman who's dealing with a cheating husband, but when the husband comes home, the dinner is still made, the tub is still warm. Hallelujah. She has massage oil for her. She's still ready to bless him, still ready, hallelujah, to be faithful to him. That's the type of God we serve. No matter what you're into, no matter what you're doing, God is still faithful. You can't mess it up. You cannot mess up his faithfulness. You think because of what you did last night messes it up. God is still faithful. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is who he is. He's faithful. That just messes me up. That messes me up. That even though I'm messing it up, he's faithful. Not faithful to judge me. Not, see, you think he thinks like you think. He's not faithful to judge you. He's faithful to save you. That's the goodness of God. Go with me to Genesis. I'm going to skip around here. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to skip around here. I'm going to go Genesis chapter 2, 8 through 12. Then I'm going to skip over to verse 15 through 17. Then I'm going to go to the next chapter, to Genesis chapter 3, 4 through 5. And then I'm going to end there at verse 22 and maybe even go to verse 24. I want you to stay with me. We don't have the text on the screen. But if you have a Bible, if you have a phone, you have a Bible. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 through 12 to start. Follow me. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Hallelujah. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and, hallelujah, good for food. Oh, it's good to see and it's good to eat. The tree of life was also in the midst. Hallelujah. of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 10. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. I'm only going to go over just one. Verse 11, the name of the first is Pishon. It is the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. In verse 12, and the gold of that land is good, and Delum and oxen stone. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. He put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it, to cultivate it. Hallelujah. To tend to it and keep it. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. It's free. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. I'm in chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. Then the serpent, the cunning serpent, said to the woman, you will not surely die. Uh-oh. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like him. You'll be like him. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us. Uh-oh. Satan was talking right. Or was he? Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. I'm going to read on. Verse 23, 24. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed cherubim angels at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. If we work like him, everything around us lives. If we work like him, everything around us lives. But if we judge like him, everything is condemned and dies. If we judge like him, everything around us is condemned, including you, and everything dies. Today I want to talk to you about why you were chosen to be like him and live forever. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we need you right now. And we're asking, Father, that you would fill this space, that you would have your way. Do what you want to do. Hide me behind the cross. It has to be you. It can't be me. It has to be you. And Lord, I submit this vessel. It is a willing sacrifice unto you, that you have your way and you speak your word and you say what you want to say to thy people, to your people. I pray, Lord, that your word tills the hearts and the minds of your people, so that our lives and everything around us will live and not die. And this I pray in Jesus' authority, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hug somebody beside you. Tell them you love them. You love them. Tell somebody you love them. Tell somebody you're praying for them. Tell somebody you love them. Tell somebody you're praying for them. You got that mic? That's gonna hop today. I know it's gonna hop. Y'all better be ready to read today. I'm gonna find some preachers today, because that mic's gonna hop. I'm gonna let the Holy Spirit hop. Hallelujah. In the Genesis narrative, we learn how God created the heavens and the earth. And he shows us it in Genesis chapter 1, and he gives us details in Genesis chapter 2. Then in Genesis chapter 2, he gives us a glimpse of when he creates man. Hallelujah. He creates the man. The Bible says he created, in Genesis chapter 1, he says, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness. Man was made like God, in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Oh, I remember some of the Gatorade commercials. I want to be like Mike. If I could be like Mike, I want to be like Mike. Like Mike. I must be the only one that's seen that commercial. Amen. But you're not like man. You were made in God's image and in God's likeness. But wait a minute. I want to be like Oprah Winfrey. I want to be like her. I want to be like Oprah. But you weren't made in the image of man. Hallelujah. You were made in the image of God and in his likeness. But I want to be Barack Obama. I want to be like Barack Obama. I want to be like that. But you weren't made in the image of man. You were made in the image and likeness of God. But I want to look like that thing that I saw on Instagram. That thing, what do we call it, that Pop-Tart? That Pop-Tart that I saw on Instagram and on Facebook. I want to have a body and I want to look like them. But you weren't made in the image of man. But you were made in the image and the likeness of God. But wait a minute. Today I get to choose my pronoun. Whether I'm a he or a she, I get to choose that. I get to choose what type of thing I want to identify myself in. I get to do that. But you weren't made in the image of a thing. You weren't made in the image of no man. But you were made in the image of God and the likeness. You didn't get to choose it. There was no survey. There was no game show. You was made like him and in his image. Come on, somebody. You're still fighting and you're having an identity meltdown because you don't know who you are. But I'm here to tell somebody, you look like your daddy. You look like him. You don't look like them. You don't look like us. You look like him. In the image of God created he him. Male and female. The Bible shares with us, hallelujah, in the Genesis narrative in chapter 2, that God plants a garden. He makes man. But he gave man purpose. He plants a garden. He plants it. Let me take my time, saints, because this is going to be a quick message. He plants the garden. He established it. So you think that business idea that you have, you think you established that? God planted that. Yeah. That job that you're cussing out right now, you're mad that you're part of, God planted you in it.
Come on, make it plain, Pastor. Come on.
The garden. The word garden comes from a Latin word, gan or gana. It is the root word of surround. Yeah. That means that everything that surrounds me is my garden. And God planted me there. He placed me in that garden, yeah, trusting that I would keep everything that is around me alive. Yeah. Let me preach this thing. That I won't prevent it from dying. That I would prevent it from dying. That I would ensure that it lives. I talked to somebody that raises a garden. They told me, they said, you know what, Jeff? They ain't calling me pastor. They called me Jeff. They said, Jeff. I said, what's that? They said, in the garden, you are responsible for everything in the garden to live. I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? Sometimes you might have a plant that ain't getting enough sun. It's not getting enough of your attention. It's not getting enough of your love. It's not getting enough of you tilling the ground, breaking up the soil. Why? So that it can grow. So sometimes you got to take a plant and move it in the sun. And there's some things that are getting way too much sun. It's dying. And you are responsible for moving it and putting it somewhere where it's getting what it needs. What I'm saying to you, saints, that it's somebody in the room that you got some things that you need to learn to adjust some things. Hallelujah. Why? So some things can live and not die. God has made you responsible that everything that is in your garden survives. That it lives. That it lives. And not just live, but he put us there because we added no resources to it. God provided the water. He provided the seed. As a matter of fact, the thing grows by itself. It don't even need you. As a matter of fact, some of us get in the way of letting some things in our life grow. But if we learn, hallelujah, like he told us, to cultivate the land, work the land, hallelujah, break up some soil. There's some things in the house that needs to be broken up in order for some things to grow. Hallelujah. Some things to grow. Oh, my goodness. To cultivate, it's some things in my mind, hallelujah, that needs to grow. It's some things, hallelujah, in my bank account that needs to grow. There's some things in my marriage that needs to grow. My attitude needs to grow up. Come on, somebody. These are all the things that surround me that are in my garden that I am responsible to keep it alive. But what happens when there are things that are I'm responsible for, it's attacking me. It's in my garden, but I'm under attack. Boy, let me preach. My mind is attacking me. My body is attacking me. My body is betraying me. It ain't supposed to be feeling that way when I see that person. All the kids are gone except this one, but we'll get them at children's school. Are we talking grown folk talk? Because we're going to pray. We're going to get some devil off of you today. Look at that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on. In Jesus' name. You see how the devil trying to mess up my sound? Come on. Hallelujah. Under attack. My family's attacking me. Come on, somebody. I'm coming into the church where the church is supposed to be a safe haven.
That's right.
And the church is attacking me. I didn't finally met the love of my life, and my spouse is attacking me. And I'm under attack. How am I supposed to survive this garden when I'm constantly under attack? How am I supposed to keep you alive when you ain't trying to be alive, when you're not trying to be saved? Don't save her. She don't want to be saved. How am I supposed to save you and you attacking me? But the Bible shares with us when we're under attack, most of us want a way out the garden. I want to get out the garden. I want out this job. Out the marriage. I want out this ministry. I want out this profession. I want out being a parent. I want out because I'm under siege. I'm under attack. But the only way out of this mess is in. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you who are under attack. It's in. Because the Bible tells us, you got to be Elder Renee, because you are. Yeah, I won. The Bible tells me that in the garden, in the midst of the garden, in the midst. Hey! Oh, I'm feeling that. But in the midst of the garden was the tree of life. In the midst, the tree of life wasn't outside the garden, but the tree of life was inside. It was in the midst of the garden. Hallelujah. The Bible tells me that when there are two or three gathered together, there I am. Jesus says, there I am in the midst. Hallelujah. He's in the midst. Touch your neighbor and say, he's in the midst. He's in the midst. And if I were to reference the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the way I would reference it as is that it's God. It's one coin, two sides. I said that if I were reckoning it, the trees to be God, I would tell you that both the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil is both God. One represents God's nature, tree of life. The other represents his office, tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's his office. One represents his character. Yeah. I'm not a man that you shall lie. Hallelujah. I would that you live and have life more abundantly. I would that you live. That's his character. But the other one represents his authority to judge. His authority to judge. Do you follow me, church? One coin, two sides of the coin, and God is there in the midst. So while you are in your situation, his character wants you to live, but his office wants to judge. His nature wants everything that he has in his garden to live, to make it. But he just so happens to have authority, his office, to judge. Oh, my God. Come on, somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to, but most of us have seen your loving side, your living side. But what if somebody saw your judge side, your authority side, the one that you slicing people up with? What if somebody saw that side? One coin, two sides. Hallelujah. And the tension comes in. Remind me about a leaf. The leaf. Oh, Holy Spirit. The tension of this narrative comes in. When Eve is tempted by the serpent, who's cunning. He's cunning. And he makes her an offer, elder. He makes her an offer. He says, no. You will not die, but you will be like him. Touch your neighbor, say, like him. Y'all with me. You'll be like him, knowing good and evil. Because if I know good and evil, I got the gossip. I got the gossip, baby. Ooh, girl, I got the news. Ooh, did you see the Housewives of Atlanta? Ooh. Did you see Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Ooh, did you see what Kanye West said? Ooh, now I got the knowledge. Now I got the news. Now I'm emboldened to judge. I'm emboldened to condemn. And if I condemn, I'm emboldened to kill, to convict what's in my garden. I'm emboldened to do it because I got the news. Come on, somebody. Now that I got the news, Oh, this is what God knows? I can do it better than God. Oh, this is what your pastor knows? This is what your pastor knows, and he haven't took care of this? I can do it better than him. My boss, oh, this is what's going on? I can make a better decision than him. Oh, this is what my husband knows? I can make a faster and a better decision. This is what my wife knows? I can make a better decision. Come on, somebody. This is what God knows? I can make a better decision than God. He's slow anyway. I know that's not you. That's your neighbor. He's slow. I can make that decision. Woo. I know that you would not make a decision like that hearing it from a snake, from a serpent. You would never make a decision by trying to usurp your authority over the authority of God. No, you wouldn't do that, especially taking advice from a serpent. And I'm here to tell you that Eve was in a bad situation. Hear me, saints. She was in a bad situation because you think that the serpent that she saw was a scaly thing. You thought it was like a Jurassic Park type of reptile thing, right? That's what you think. That's what you imagine it to be. Because if you imagine it to be, that means you would have saw that thing coming a mile away. But the Bible says that he was cunning. That means intelligent, smart, smooth, wise. What I would surmise to tell you, or what the Bible infers, and I'm going to prove it to you, is that what she saw was the most beautiful thing that she's ever seen before in her life.
Come on.
You think that you fall because it's something that is insidious and heinous and ugly? You fall because it's the finest, cutest, most gorgeous thing you've ever seen in your life. And your flesh betrays you. Yo, listen, you can't be tempted by something that you don't like.
Come on, Pastor.
Oh, I like that. And the devil gonna deliver you. Listen to me. She saw the most beautiful creature, the best sound. Listen, the sound of the enemy sounded better than anything she's ever heard in her life. This is what she was up against. You think you can see the devil? The devil, get out of Hollywood. He's not red with bull horns on his head and looks all insidious and unattractive and ugly and angry. No, he's beautiful. He's gorgeous. The best looking thing you've ever seen in your life. And guess what? Can sing. Can sing too. Somebody give me the mic. Let's make it hot. Somebody give me Ezekiel chapter 28. Give me Ezekiel chapter 28. I want somebody to read Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12. I'm not gonna stop you. I don't want to get all the way to verse 20, but I'm not gonna stop you. I just want to add, I want you to see something, what this woman was up against. You think you can defeat the devil? Why you keep failing? He's gorgeous. He's beautiful. What you're about to read, let me give you context. The man of God, Ezekiel, goes to the prince of Tyre. And the prince of Tyre has boasted himself up because in his own wisdom, he became rich. He became rich. He's the prince of Tyre. His location is near the water. And they've made a rich community, a rich nature, a rich nation. Hallelujah. Come on over here near me. Preacher. Hold that. I'm going to tell you in a second. Praise the Lord. And now, that was the prince of Tyre. And God says that the way that this individual will come to an end because he's not worshiping God and giving God the glory, but he's boasting himself in his own wisdom and his own beauty, that foreigners will come and destroy him. because he now lives as a judge. Everything around him is condemned, including himself. Which means that everything around him has to die. Now, what she's about to read to you is not the Prince of Tyre, but the King of Tyre. Listen to what I'm saying. You believers, we all got a king. It's either Jesus or it's this thing she's about to read. It's either Jesus is your king or what she's about to read. Read for me, verse 12.
Mic check.
Mic 9.
Praise the Lord. All right.
Get loud for me.
Son of man.
Yeah.
Take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to
I can't
him,
hear you.
Thus says the Lord God.
He says take up lamentation, which means get the funeral song ready. Because the devil's got to die. Get the funeral, the lamentation, get the funeral song together. Go ahead and read it.
You were the seal of perfection. Full of wisdom and perfect.
Stop with that. You were the seal. You were a standard. We branded some things after you. You were the seal. You were the standard of perfection. Go and read it.
Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty.
My God. This is the... Go ahead and read it.
You were in Eden, the garden...
Whoa. You were where?
In Eden.
Wait a minute. We're going to come back. What verse is that?
13.
Make sure we come back to 13. Keep reading. Okay. You was in Eden, you beautiful thing. Go read it.
Okay. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering.
Every precious stone covered you. Read it.
The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with
Jesus.
Gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on
Stop
the
right
day.
Stop right there. Whoa. The workman for your timbrel and pipes. This brother can blow. Oh, you think he's saying sweet things to you? You can't resist the words. You can't resist the voice. He was created perfect. Perfect. The Bible says perfection. You can't. This dude is no joke. This is what Eve is up against. Read it.
The workmen of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created.
My God, prepared for, go ahead and read it.
You were the anointed cherub who covers.
Uh-huh.
I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God.
Yeah.
You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones.
Oh, you was in the midst. Oh, when here I am, here's God in the midst. Guess who was walking forth, back and forth in the midst of God? He was there in the midst. Oh, this is how he tempted Eve. And have you tried this? Because the Lord allowed him to walk in back and forth in the midst. Ah, he's in the garden. Come on, read it.
You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created.
My God.
Till iniquity was found.
What happened? Iniquity was found. What happened? Read it, woman of God.
By the abundance of your trading, you became.
Of your trading? There was something that traded off here. Let me teach now. Then I want you to end at 19 and 20. Let me teach. Iniquity was in the trading. You traded from working, toiling, making sure that everything around you grew, to judging. Because you got wind to some information. I want to be, angels, I can be better than God. He too slow. He don't know what he's doing. And convinced a third of his angels to go with him. Will you be like those angels? Because God is too slow? Because once you got wind of the news, you could do a better job. Your wrath is better than God's.
Come on.
You can repay back better than God. This is the enemy. He traded that. He traded everything around him living hallelujah, to judging everything around him, condemning it, so that everything around him, including himself, dies. Yes. Now read, now just skip. I want 19:20. What happened to him?
All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be, oh shoot, you have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Then the word of the Lord came.
Stop right there. And you should be no more forever. That's prophecy. I want you to go back to 13. Go back to 13. Listen to what I'm saying. The devil ain't dead. He's dead meat. But he ain't dead. You understand? Church, I'm going to tell you why in a second. Now go back to, he's prophesied that he will die because the Lord has to flex his authority. It's not in his character. It's not in his nature. But he's got to do it because it is his office. It is his authority to judge. So now read 13.
You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold.
Stop right there. Now I want you to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. Now let's weave, let's go ahead and connect this Bible so that we can see the nature of God and the nature of judging. And the reason I say the nature of judging, because the nature of judging is not the devil. It's something that he desires because he wants to be like God in that way. He doesn't want to wait. He doesn't want to be the nature and the character of God right now, proving that he can keep everything around him alive. He wants to be elevated now. I want to be a title now. I want to be prophetess now. I want to be pastor now. I want to be elder so-and-so now. I wanted that new job now. I need that new house now. I need to get married to so-and-so now. I need a family now. Now get me Genesis 2 verse 10. And read it like the woman of God that you are.
Can you turn up my mic, please? I don't have no voice. Check. All right, good. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted.
Water went out from Eden.
To water the garden.
To water the garden. God has a own self-sprinkler system in your garden. Now, come on, read the Bible.
And from there, it parted and became four riverheads.
Uh-oh. So that means that it parted. Now it's going out from the garden. It's about to feed some other folk. It's about to feed some other folk. We only got time to hear about the one folk that it's doing. What is it doing it for?
The name of the first is Pishon.
Uh-huh.
It is the one which skirts the whole land of Hivala,
uh-huh,
where there is gold.
Whoa. That's the same stuff that covered Satan. What else? What else? What else? What else covered it?
And the gold of that land is good.
It's good. Ooh, keep reading.
Bdellium and the onyx stone.
Oh, the onyx stone. That's the same stuff that the enemy is covered with. I'm done with that. I'm done with. Give me that mic. We got to make it hop. We got to make it hop. That's the same stuff that the devil's covered with. He's covered and adorned in that beauty. That means that the Lord God is still feeding the devil. What are you saying, Pastor? That's crazy. Listen to what I'm saying. His nature is that everything in his garden lives. That everything prospers. That what's in his garden, he puts us there so we can make it better.
Come on.
But if we judge, we kill everything. We condemn everything.
Yes.
So it's his nature. So wait a minute. You're telling me that he's feeding. Listen, you have people in your life that are snakes. You have people in your life, and I dare say this word, that are witches and warlocks and that are evil. And God is feeding the devil, and you got the nerve to want to kill snakes and witches and warlocks in your life? When God is trying to keep everything in the garden alive. You say, Pastor, why would he do that? Because God is giving us time.
Yes.
It's his grace. And even grace has been extended to Satan. You can't extend grace to somebody that's in your family, but God is extending grace to the Antichrist. You cannot extend grace to that person in church, but God is extending grace to the Antichrist. He's giving him time because it's his, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm saying, Elder, it's his nature. It's his character that everything around him lives and that nothing is lost. Time. You think time is a curse? It's a blessing. It gives you time to repent. He wants you to live. And not die. And you are slicing people who you think is the serpent. And God is keeping the devil in play. And you become judge. And when you judge, you're judging yourself. Matthew 7 says it. Hallelujah. Do not judge. Because it will be judged back unto you. Whatever you judge will come back to you. And whatever measure you judge will be measured back into you. So if you condemn somebody, honey, you're condemned, which means death. Everything around me dies, including me. And you're saying, but the devil's evil. He's the father of evil. No, he's not. He's not the father of evil. He didn't create evil. Give me the mic. Somebody give me Isaiah 45, 7. No, give me Isaiah 45, verse 5 through 7. Give me the word. Somebody read this thing. Where Chris at? Read this thing. 45, I want. Hold that mic up, fam. Read that thing, preacher, teacher.
I am the Lord.
Are you what?
I am the Lord.
I am the Lord.
And there is no other.
There is nothing else.
Besides me, there is no God.
There is nothing else.
I will gird you, though you have not known me, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun.
Uh-huh.
That there is no one besides me.
There is nothing. I'm it. I'm the one. I'm it. What else? Give me verse 7.
I am the Lord.
Give me verse 7.
Okay. The one forming light and creating darkness.
Oh, I create the light, and I'm the one that create. Hold on. I'm the one that create the light, and I create the darkness?
Causing well-being and creating calamity.
And I created what in calamity?
I am the Lord who does all these things.
Stop right there. I want you to read 7 now, and I need you to switch the version to the King James Version. Who got the King James Version? Switch the version. Give me that mic. Give me that mic. Give me that mic. Give me that mic. Make it hot. I need you to read that. Evangelist, preacher.
I form the light
uh-huh.
and create darkness.
Uh-huh.
I make peace and create evil.
Oh, wait a minute. God created evil? Oh, man. And I'm slaying, sister girl. I'm slaying, brother boy. And God is still keeping Satan in play because he didn't create it. It ain't him. It's the office that he desires. It's the authority you desire. You want my office. You want my seat because you think you can do what I do better. when I'm trying to keep everything alive. I'm trying to keep everything alive in my garden. But you want to judge. Killer. You killer. You don't want to live. You want the news. You don't want to work. You want to judge. I don't know who I'm talking to. Hold this mic for me. I don't know who I'm talking to. But your whole garden is barren. It's been barren for weeks. It's been barren for months. It's been barren for years. Your garden, everything around you has been dying. Barren. But I'm prophesying to somebody in the room. You see that leaf that's still flagging? Don't, listen, that's a sign of life. Yeah, everything in your garden is dying, but that one leaf is sign of life. Hallelujah. It's sign of life. Don't let that leaf die. Don't let that leaf, because that's a sign of life. Yes. Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor seateth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law and the word of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he should be like that tree. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. That bear food, that bear forth fruit in season. In season. You wait. You want it now. But honey, it's coming in season. And watch this. And the leaf won't wither. Oh no, it won't wither. But everything you do shall prosper. I don't know who I'm talking to, but that leaf, honey, if you will wash that with the water of the word, that leaf, that sign of life, I don't know who I'm talking, who that's for. Maybe that's somebody that's watching us online. But honey, don't give up on that leaf. I don't give up on that marriage. It's a leaf. Don't you give up on that job. There's a leaf. Don't you give up on that ministry. There's a leaf. Don't give up on yourself. There's a leaf. Don't you give up on those kids. There's a leaf. Don't you give up on your mama. Don't you give up on your daddy. Don't you give up on your pastor. There's a leaf. There's a leaf. Jesus. Come on. There's a leaf. Worked so that everything in my garden can live, or judge so that I and everything in my garden will be condemned and die. Work, toil the land, cultivate it so that it's better than God gave it to me, everything around me, or judge. Which like him do you want to be? Do you want to be like him that everything around you is saved? Yes. Or do you want to be like him that everything around you is condemned? What like him do you want? Do you want his job? Hallelujah. Or do you want his character? His nature? And that's how the devil tricked Eve. Because he told her about an office that you can't have, that the devil can't have. I'm coming back to that. That the devil can't have, but you can. Let me show you. I'm coming back to that. Make sure I don't. The Bible records when Jesus was betrayed by Judas, his own disciple, a person that was a candidate to be an apostle. Judas was his student. kissing them all in the face, all in here. Kissing them all here. His student makes an exchange. He makes a decision to going from life, working for life, for judging to condemn. And he traded news, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He traded news, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He traded news where life would be. He traded the news. Come on, somebody. Listen, you need to pray for the people who are gossiping and saying ill will about you. Hallelujah. Because the condemnation comes in and of itself. They're condemning themselves when you judge. You should be praying for them so that you don't lose those that are in your garden, even the haters. That's his nature. Maya, that's his nature. I don't like him neither, Maya. Stacy, I don't like him that much neither. But it's God's nature that everything lives. The Bible says that the condemnation on Judas was so bad he hung himself. Because that's what judging does. It kills. That's what condemnation does. That's what judging does. It kills. And Jesus is there with the chief priests who sits in the office of judge. You see? And in the office of judge are the chief priests who are judging him and has submitted him to the governor, Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate is sitting here. Hallelujah. Like, this man has not done anything wrong. What you are accusing him of, he didn't do nothing wrong. He ain't doing, why are you judging this man? He ain't doing nothing wrong. And they wanted him dead because they wanted to stay judge and kill everything over life so that everybody can be saved. They chose judging over salvation. And then the Bible says that it was custom that they would release Barabbas. That they would release a criminal of their choice. And the Pontius Pilate tried to play a game because he knew it was envy. He knew this was a joke. So he said, you know what? Let me give him the worst criminal we got. The murderer, Barabbas. And they submit Barabbas and they cheered, give us Barabbas. That's what judging does. We prefer killing. Jesus. We prefer murder over salvation, over living. And the Bible says, he says, what should I do with Jesus? And they said, kill him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Why would I crucify life? Because saints, that's what we do when we judge. You're crucifying life. That's what you're doing. I don't know how I'm landing this plane, but I just want to talk straight. Give me my music, because I don't know what I'm doing. But the Holy Spirit, no. God is so... masterful. I said God is masterful. He knew that this sacrifice had to happen for him to get power back and authority to judge. He had to take on all the judging and condemnation so that you don't ever have to go through it. He took it. And the Bible says that when he came up, when the Spirit rose him from the dead, that all power was given unto him. all power, all authority in heaven. That means that Jesus Christ is now the judge. Imagine this. If you're faithful, just imagine with me. Just please, just imagine with me. Imagine if you provide God's nature and his character in his garden. He invites us to judge with him. Let me get somebody that believe what I just said. When we prove his character and his nature in the garden, that's everything that's around us, he allows us to judge with him in eternity. What are you talking about, Pastor? The Bible says that we become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Because we proved his nature and his character in the garden. Imagine if the devil would have waited. Imagine if you wait on the Lord, then you're going to get to eat from that tree anyway. But before you can eat from the tree of judgment, of judging, you have to live the tree of living so that everything around you may live. I don't know who I'm talking to, but now my marriage will live. Now my father will live. My mother will live. My children will live. My ministry will live. My enemies, oh no, my enemies will live. Because it's my job to make sure that everything in the garden lives. I want you to do Pastor a favor. Go to your phone. Homework. Praise the Lord. He is so faithful. Is there any ambiguity in that word today? Ambiguity in that word today? Are we clear, saints? Everything around you is to live. That's his nature. I want you to put in your phone, your notes. What's in my life? What's in my garden that I'm preventing from growing? What's in my life that I am preventing from growing? Saints, I need for you all to answer that question and work the garden. You want to be like him? That's like him. Touch your neighbor and say, that's like him.